This is the North Africa Journal, and thank you for downloading this podcast. For more podcast information and user rules, please visit north-africa.com/podcast.
Ahead now on the international terror investigation that's underway involving explosive parcels. For more on this, we're joined by Alessandro Bruno. He is the deputy editor of the North Africa Journal. He's, of course, quite familiar with Yemen and the links to Al-Qaeda. Alessandro, thanks again for joining us.
Good afternoon.
You know, this incident, many are saying, has again refocused the war on terror on Yemen. But, of course, you and I know that the U.S. has always been focused on Yemen. Perhaps we haven't heard that much about it. We're going to start hearing much more now. Why has Yemen turned into yet another base for Al-Qaeda?
Well, the Yemen story is actually quite long, and the roots of the phenomenon now go back, you can say, to the, well, at least 20 years. First of all, President Saleh of Yemen is not unlike Saddam Hussein. He may not have the reputation of Saddam Hussein, but he's had some dirty dealings himself, a coup, killing political dissidents, running secret police. So since he first became president in 1977, he was president of North Yemen, before the country united into the Yemen of today in 1990. So he's had internal political dissidents to deal with in the first place. Mm-hmm. Now, the other interesting thing, and I've mentioned it before, there's a Shiite revolt in the north of Yemen, which is a big problem for this president. He, in the past couple of years, has used Sunni radicals. Sunnis and Shias, when at the radical level, do not get along. So he's used Sunni radicals to try to fight the Shiites. Some of these Sunni radicals have trained in weapons and warfare and guerrilla tactics, are now turning against him. And it is these soldiers, or former fighters, soldiers, if you want to call them that, that have also set up the base for this Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, as it's called. And then you have a number of other factors. Yemen is the poorest Arab country. It has very high unemployment and very high birth rate, mm-hmm. two things that don't go very well together,
yeah.
and very little efforts to fix it.
Well, and we know that the history of civil war there, and really, in as much as Yemen says and states publicly that they want to assist the U.S., the reality is there's only so much that the government there, as you're alluding to, can do, right, to stop Al-Qaeda.
Yes. The President Saleh is the president of Yemen in almost the same way as President Karzai is the president of Afghanistan. In other words, they control an area near the capital, the large center, but beyond, the further you go away from the capital, the looser the control is. And Yemen's territory is not unlike Afghanistan. It's very mountainous and conducive to independent activities and groups forming. In fact, people got kidnapped a lot, even a lot of tourists got kidnapped in Yemen by bandits because right. the territory favors it.
So because of this disorganization, the fact that the government there is not very stable, to say the least,
yeah.
Obviously Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, as they're known there, have, you know, some would say, been allowed to flourish. I mean, they're pretty sophisticated. They have their own magazine that they launched not long ago, as you know. It's aimed at, hating those in the West and yeah. encouraging recruitment, right?
Yes. The people who are Al-Qaeda in general are not unsophisticated people. Many of them are educated in the West. Some of them are unlikely terrorists. You remember Abdul Muttalib, the Nigerian man who wanted to blow up a plane in Chicago last Christmas. He was an engineering student in London. So you have people who are very technically able, capable, and so they can run magazines. And in fact, One of the new techniques of terrorism is the use of technology and communication media in particular.
Mm-hmm. What about this cleric, Al-Awaki, who many people are saying he is the person who is leading the radicalization? I mean, he's He's a U.S. Citizen, but has been in Yemen. Many say he's the person who trained the so-called Christmas Day underwear bomber, and he is behind this latest terror plot to put explosives into ink cartridges. What do we know about him, and is he? How does the U.S. deal with someone like that?
Well, al-Maulaki's biggest, shall we say, selling point or advantage is that he speaks English absolutely fluently and understands the West very well, because he lived for a long time, a long part of his life in the West. I believe his parents were diplomats or something related to diplomacy at first. He also knows South America very well. So, in fact, I think he speaks Spanish, which would enable him to link up to some of the radical groups in South America. Mm-hmm. We have evidence of some of these groups, like FARC, having connections to Al-Qaeda in the Maghreb, because Al-Qaeda in the Maghreb, the West Africa, is one of the main places where people are smuggling cocaine these days.
Alessandro, knowing what you do about the region and the politics there, how things work, what do you anticipate the U.S. Next move may be in perhaps dealing with this cleric?
Well, unfortunately, I think what they will start doing is using more drones, unmanned aircraft. They still don't want to take the risk of putting actual real people behind these attacks. And Yemen will definitely use this incident to demand more military aid. It also needs stability and needs a big friend, a big backer like the U.S., because Yemen has a lot of oil that is sitting there untapped, because many companies find it too risky to go there. Mm-hmm. So they need to portray the image of security to the West, and they need weapons to do that. Saudi Arabia has gotten a huge cache of weapons this week. People think, at least in general, it was thought it was to be aimed at the Iranians, but judging by the fact they bought, I don't know how many, hundred helicopters, mm-hmm. sounds to me more like they're interested in Yemen.
Very interesting. Yeah, and I know that you say that may have been an aggravating factor, but we'll
yes.
continue to watch this. Alessandro Bruno with the North Africa Journal. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
This was the North Africa Journal podcast. Thank you for listening.